You know how there's holiday specials? I mean, everybody's got a holiday special. Bill Murray has a holiday special. So we do too here every year. We started it last year. We're doing it this year. It will continue in perpetuity. It's the Big Al Anderson, Jim Chapdelaine, Colin McEnroe holiday special. We're all sitting here in the studio. We've got scarves on and big mugs of hot chocolate, and there's a fire crackling because we set some equipment on fire by accident.
I've started drinking again.
You have not. Hot chocolate is all you're getting. So we're going to play some songs, sing some songs. You're going to hear the Dan Kosky Tabernacle Choir, always popular. They'll come up a little bit later. But Big Al, what are you going to kick us off with?
Something nobody's ever heard.
All right.
Including me.
Well, how much am I called a simple, ordinary guy? I know from all the time I spend looking at myself in the mirror. What is it about me that the girls find so irresistible? Cutie on my left, cutie on my right. If one of them's lucky, I'll take her home tonight. I can't please them all, I do the best that I can. They just need enough time and I'm only one man. And then I woke up all alone, nobody to love, no one to kiss. No one to hug, going back to sleep, back to my dream. Everybody loves me. Yeah, this is more like it. Yeah, here they go. Yeah. Well, here they come chasing after Mr. Popular, Mr. Cool, Mr. Can't Keep Their Hands Off Me. Busy, busy, busy is becoming quite a problem due to the fact I have no time for myself. Running their fingers all through my hair, one after another, you know it just ain't fair. I need to clone myself, cause obviously, to spread the love around, they need more of me. And then I woke up all alone, nobody to love, no one to kiss, and no one to hug. Back to my dream, where everybody loves me. Well, I'm getting kind of tired, girls, I have to confess. Even beautiful me needs his beauty rest. I ain't no party pooper, but I meant what I said. I'm going on home. I need to go to bed. And then I woke up all alone. Nobody to love, no one to kiss, and no one to hug. Going back to sleep, back to my dreams. All alone, nobody to love, no one to kiss, and no one to hug. Going back to sleep, back to my dreams. Everybody loves me.
Woo! So you think you got it bad? Just listen to that. Does that have a name?
And then I woke up.
Yeah.
And then I woke up.
That would have been my guess. And then I woke up.
Yeah.
So let's introduce our guest here on the Holiday Spectacular. It's actually just the three of us, but Big Al Anderson is with us. He's made the journey out here to the East Coast, as he does periodically, where he initially made his name as a singer, as a performer, as a songwriter with the Wild Weeds, and then on with NRBQ. And now he's, of course, the toast of Nashville, both the town and the TV show. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. Jim Chapdelaine, well, you all know Jim Chapdelaine. He's a regular on our show. He's a guitar hero. He's a production whiz, and he's one of the men that Al Anderson would trust with his life.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
What would you trust Jim Chapdelaine with?
Make a list
of things that you would trust Jim Chapdelaine.
My banana peel.
Would you trust it to place it accurately, or just trust him to pick it up rather than let you slip on it?
Slipping on it would be good.
Let me just say right now, Al, as we're speaking, I'm scratching off organ donor.
Okay.
All right? So just back off.
Somebody else is going to get Jim's organ. Some keyboard player, we assume.
Yeah, it's not you, though.
So, and not to make this about ruthless promotion, but you should ruthlessly promote some stuff that you're doing here. You're back on the East Coast.
Yes.
And so there's some dates coming up, right?
We're playing on the 26th and 7th with the Wild Weeds. All of them coming back together, and we're doing Shore of the Floor Models, and then we're going to do some NRBQ stuff and some rock and roll at the Hills Point Hotel, which I think is 383 South Center Street in Windsor Locks, right over the border from Windsor.
The only time that I've ever heard of this place is when you guys come back and play. I mean, Jim, what is this place? What is
it's just a place that I think you founded.
NRBQ used to do our Moon Pie
Festival. It used to be a Howard Johnson's.
Yeah. We used to do our Moon Pie Festivals there. And so you go to nbotickets.com.
Was it really a Howard Johnson's?
It was a Howard Johnson's.
I kind of miss Howard Johnson's.
Me too.
I was on the highway the other day and I was saying, boy, I'm so sick of these malls and where you could buy a pretzel that could be a spare tire or really bad coffee. I miss Howard Johnson's.
Well, first of all, I miss the colors.
Sure.
We used to have all those buttons in the middle, in between the two beds.
Oh, you're talking about the actual place that you sleep. I was thinking about the place that you eat.
Yeah, on the highway.
What did the buttons do, or should I not ask?
Well, they turn on all the lights.
Okay. Yeah. I also remember Howard Johnson's too because my father liked Howard Johnson's because it was kind of a wholesome family restaurant where you could drink. You know?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, at least the one in
the ones on the highway, they kind of discourage that.
Yeah, they probably discourage that. But like there was one in West Hartford, not too far from where you live now.
That's where
Butterfly is now.
Yeah.
And that had a bar. My father would bolt down a couple of martinis and Howard Johnson's would start looking pretty good to him.
That was also in the late 70s, a great post-gig hangout where all the cats would go.
Yeah.
Till they went to Rhine's in Hartford.
What are you talking about?
Howard Johnson's in West Hartford.
Yeah. We're having a longer conversation about Howard Johnson's.
Yeah.
And we're not even playing Howard Johnson's got his hojo working.
No.
You got me off track here, but there used to be a place called Tony Romano's Hofbräu.
Hartford, right?
Yeah.
Hartford? Yeah.
And they shut the liquor off at 1 o'clock, so all the musicians came down there, and it was Kenny Burrell and Cannonball Adderley, and I got to play with King Curtis a couple times. It was Ray Zeiner's gig from the Wild Weeds.
And would that be intimidating? I mean, jazz people, I feel like, are intimidating to other musicians.
They're intimidating to me.
But you didn't hesitate to go up there and...
Not with King Curtis.
Yeah, because he straddled both genres.
Yeah, right? And he did all those Coasters records.
Well, let me ask you this, Al. Would you be intimidated by Kenny G? Like in a mixed martial arts cage fight?
I'm not going to answer that question.
I don't blame him because he's probably listening because he's an NPR.
The poor guy is maligned enough as it is.
We actually got in a lot of trouble for an introduction one time where in the course of the introduction, Wolfie, I think, shot Kenny G with an arrow or something. It was like people complained about it. So
I will say I like Kenny G, but I was in an MRI one time and they played Kenny G. And I said, no, stop. And they thought I was freaking out because people get claustrophobic in MRIs.
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm not claustrophobic, but you're playing Kenny G and I'm trapped in this machine. She said, but I thought you liked jazz. I said, I do like jazz.
What would you like played in your MRI? What would you like piped in if you had a choice?
I would take Miles Davis working.
I think Kind of Blue overall would be a great – I mean if you're in there for a while, that would be nice.
Yeah. You don't want something too jumpy or jangly because you're going to start twitching.
Plus if they find something bad, you want to be hearing, so what?
We've got good news and bad news. So what?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a Sinatra freak now. That's all I listen to.
Yeah? Do you do any Sinatra tunes?
Not really.
Like would you do one now?
I've written one like it.
Oh, let's hear that.
All right.
Are you going to tell Jim the key or anything about the song?
No.
It's going to kind of go this way all day, folks.
I have a week of this. I have an entire week of this.
Oh, I know this song, I think.
For the smile on my face, for the state of grace, even though my wounded heart is about to break, for all the reasons I don't believe, love make a fool of me. For the place my head goes in the sweet afterglow, just before the hurt sets in, and I'm all alone. You're just exactly what I don't need. Love, make a fool of me. Get me all wrapped up in words I long to hear. Let them linger in the air. Watch them all go up in smoke and slowly disappear. Go against my will for the sake of the thrill. Go ahead and have your fun. Ooh, you know you will. But do me one favor before you leave. Love, make a fool of me. Love, make a fool out of me.
Big Al Anderson and Jim Chapdelaine. I love that song. That's first of all, I have that CD. I feel like it came out maybe around 2009, something like that.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra would sing that song, I think. The thing about Sinatra too,
but you can't say no now anyway.
Well, exactly. We can say that he would, you know, do some of the other songs.
A few things you can rule out unequivocally.
Yeah, that he will not be doing it now.
Yeah,
yeah. Although you know what, you watch the films of him working with orchestras. And, you know, he's more of a musician, I think, than people might guess,
oh,
you know.
Oh, yeah, exceptional.
He was a musician.
Yeah.
He was a jazz musician.
And just, like, stopping them at bar 34 and saying,
yeah,
you
I
know.
Heard that. Yeah, I heard that thing, too. But he's, like, he's an actual jazz musician with his voice. Nobody will ever touch him.
He was also a little ahead of his time because they found that stash of songs of his that he recorded with just a piano player and him on video.
Mm-hmm.
So for future arrangers to rearrange and work with. So he was sort of the inventor of MTV.
Or YouTube or something.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe YouTube. Or, so the purpose of it was rough track?
He imagined basically that something in the future would be there to greet these things.
And Nelson Riddle and Johnny Mandel and all that. Man, it was just stuff I'll never be able to think about doing.
Yeah. The guy that I also really admire from that era and who I think is kind of underrated and unfairly – categorized is Sammy Davis Jr., who obviously at the point of the Candy Man and stuff like that is driving us all nuts. But he was this fabulous singer, and he did something.
He was a great singer.
Yeah. He did something that I think Sinatra would not have done. That's why I was asking about the piano thing. He did a whole album with the guitarist Laurindo Almeida, a Brazilian guitarist.
That's right.
And it's just the two of them. And so those guys from that era, the era, like you're saying, they liked having the Nelson Mandel the Nelson Riddle arrangement or the Johnny Mandel arrangement and the big orchestra. And they didn't kind of get that naked most of the time. But Sammy, he's just totally exposed on
Frank
this.
Frank did that too. I think it was with Yobim's Long and Tall and Long and Tall and yeah, Long and Tall
Antonio,
and Long and Tall.
Yeah, Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Few people know the original words. And long and tall and long, but mostly tall. That's what they started with.
So it also became Long Tall Sally. It became two songs.
Yeah.
It kind of branched
in
out.
In Connecticut. It's when Roland got a hold of it.
Yeah, in two different directions. All right, this is our Christmas special. Big Al Anderson is here. Jim Chapdelaine is here. Claudine Longet will come out in a couple of minutes. And
The Osmonds.
The Osmonds. I really loved all those things, though. I mean, I missed those Andy Williams things. Did you watch those things growing up, the Andy Williams Christmas specials?
Yeah, I did.
But you don't miss them.
He was a good singer.
Yes, he actually was a good singer, yeah. I'm not so sure about Claudine Longet. I think she was just sort of there to.
And that song, Moon River,
yeah, that
Johnny Mercer wrote the lyrics to, and he hadn't done anything in a long time. He used to write funny stuff.
Yeah.
Man, he just nailed it.
That's a killing song.
Right. Yeah. Johnny Mercer turned down the chance to write the lyrics to The Shadow of Your Smile, which I think Mandela might have written the music to. Whoever it was, he called him in, told him the name of the song, and asked him to write the lyrics. And he said he wouldn't do it because he thought it sounded like a girl with a faint mustache.
I also think when you go back and review this show, we should substitute Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela.
For each Nelson reference to Johnny Mandel. And that could have kind of –
they're really all the same person.
Historians will go and we had no idea he was an arranger too.
Yeah. It's actually Nelson Mandela.
I wasn't going to say anything. I just let it go.
Yeah. Nelson Mandela was
I like the idea though.
He was sort of a fusion of Johnny Mandel and Nelson Riddle. He became Nelson Mandela.
Right.
All right. So the last song we're going to do here in the first segment is going to be a Chipmunk Christmas song. We're going to bring in the Dankosky Tabernacle Singers to sing this with us.
And I might add that they are finely dressed. Right. I like those high-collared sort of dresses.
And I feel as though NRBQ did some Chipmunk songs, right? Didn't you do Chipmunk covers?
No.
There was a song called Things We Like to Do. Maybe that wasn't your era of NRBQ. You might have.
No, I was there for that. Yeah. I guess you're right.
That's a Chipmunk song,
that's
right?
It's I like to play baseball and fight with the squirrels. We like to pull pigtails.
Was that a Chipmunk
song? And pretty women.
That's right. You guys
rewrote
it.
We like to go bowling
and talking too. But we don't like to mow the lawn, rake the leaves, do you? I like to have lots of fun to sing these songs for you.
That's why we made it big.
I mean, the Chipmunks.
And then there's a modulation.
The Chipmunks are sort of a dubious concept when you think about it. I mean, it really is just sort of, you know, speeded up talking.
Have you ever heard them slowed down? Because that will give you nightmares for life.
I have.
Those are amazing records, though.
Amazing in what sense?
David Seville.
Yes. Well, you know, the genius behind them was a guy named Ross Bagdasarian. I think he was David Seville.
Right, same thing.
Do you know the trivia about Ross Bagdasarian?
No.
Is this going to ruin it for everyone?
In the movie Rear Window, where Jimmy Stewart is looking across the alley, there's a guy playing the piano. That's one of the guys in the – that's Ross Bagdasarian. The guy who became – who invented Alvin and the Chipmunks is
– that's where he got the idea, I think.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure.
So I have been sort of nominally anyway part of a family for many years that sings a lot of Christmas songs, like, you know, 2-3 hours of Christmas songs on Christmas Day. And one year my niece had brought home this guy who she eventually did marry, this wonderful guy named Yoni. He was from an Orthodox Jewish family. And I was kind of wondering how 2 or 3 hours of Christmas singing was going to sit with Yoni. And we do every year sing the Chipmunk Christmas song. And so we got like halfway into the Chipmunk Christmas song with the Chipmunk voices. And I just turned to him and I said, I'll drive you to the airport right now if you want. And he looked at me and he said, no. He said, actually, I'm really impressed with just how good your Chipmunk voices are. And I said, Yoni, what's really sad is we've been working on them for 30 years.
Yeah.
That's why they're so good. So we're going to play the Chipmunk Christmas song for you right now with Big Al Anderson, Jim Chapdelaine, and the Dankosky Tabernacle Singers. And then we'll
unrehearsed.
Be back. Unrehearsed.
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 Well, don't break the spell. We rehearsed for days and weeks sweating.
To get the kind of magic we have here today, right. It doesn't come easily. So here we go. And then after this, we'll be back after a break.
And no one.
Christmas, Christmas time is near. Time for toys and time for cheers. We've been good, but we can't last. Hurry, Christmas, hurry fast. Want a plane that loops a loop?
Tucker, you sounded really good. Betsy, you were right on the beat. Heather, you too. Big Al, you were a little, I don't know, you seemed a little flat or something. So if you could just sort of stay on that. Al? Hey, Al? Al? Al?
Okay!
Want a plane that moves the moon?
Please, Christmas.
Hey, can we do it a couple more times? I feel like I'm just kind of getting into it.
All right, so we just heard a song that Big Al Anderson, who's here with Jim Chapdelaine, as part of our holiday special that you did with Carlene Carter and I think a couple of other musicians. Can you give us the background of that?
Howie Epstein played bass with Tom Petty. He produced – he was her boyfriend at the time. And Ben Montench played Vox Continental organ. And I did all the background vocals and guitars and did it out in California in May. Didn't feel like Christmas, but
It's hard to do a new Christmas song, but that's like, you know, it's hard to do a new Christmas classic. We talk about this all the time.
This is definitely a classic.
Yeah. And you really love this song. I mean, you –
Yeah. I'm really proud of the record.
It's one of your things
you say. It's like back to Chet Atkins in those – the early 60s.
On a scale of like 1 to 10.
Owen Bradley and Chet Atkins produced on there, like Brenda Lee and Jingle Bell Rock. It's kind of like that.
Hmm. Well, it's great. It's fun. And this is our holiday special. Jim Chapdelaine is here. Big Al Anderson is here. We should mention once again that if you want to take a trip down memory lane starting in the present and going into the past, you'll have that opportunity coming up when they perform in the area. So once again, when and where is the gig?
And Northampton Box Office, nbotickets.com on the 26th and 7th. In right outside of Windsor, Alaska, Connecticut, and
Hills
South
Point
Center
Hotel.
Street. Yeah. The Hills Point Hotel. That's where we used to throw the Moon Pie Festivals, and it's a really good room.
In keeping with the Christmas special, should we tell them about a special guest, Jean-Claude Keeley?
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Really?
That's a Claudine Longe joke, right?
Right.
But it was Spider Savage that she shot. Right? She shot Spider Savage.
She pulled a Cheney.
Right, yeah.
And she got off, I think, right?
Well, I don't know how it was for her, but
–
you mean got off the other way.
I shot him by –
Wow. This is really a special
We can fix that in post.
It's the Wild Weeds and – the floor models, and then we're going to do some rock and roll.
And some NRBQ?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of them.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. And just it'll just go all night long. They have they have a liquor license?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this is going to be
I can't play anywhere where they don't serve liquor.
Right. But you don't drink.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I like to watch now.
Yeah. Well, you can't not drink in a situation where they don't serve liquor. Then you're, you know, you're just like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
So what's the point? All right. So we should ask you a little bit about what's going on in your Nashville songwriting career. Nashville means two different things now. It's – well, maybe three different things. It's a genre. It's a place. It's a TV show. You're active in all three. So who and what are you writing these days?
I had a number one with Zach Brown in September called Loving You Easy. And I got a Harry Connick Jr. cut, this song we're going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a George Strait single out now. I don't know what – he's getting old. I don't know if they're going to play him anymore, but I hope so.
When you write stuff for the TV show, the ABC series Nashville, do you just sort of write a song and they take it? I mean, they don't say, hey, we need something for Gunnar to sing or something like that, right?
Well, my publisher – I told my publisher I was going to bring some songs over to Buddy Miller because I've known Buddy for a long time. And she said, Al, bring three songs over. He's getting inundated with every writer in Nashville. So bring your best three songs over. So I brought over 40. And he cut four of them, and he just got another one. He doesn't listen anymore. He can't stand the radio. So he gives it to somebody else. But anyway, that's how I did it.
He has a listener. He has a professional listener that does the listening.
Buddy's a great man.
Do people in Nashville know that you're actually from Connecticut? Do you cover that part of yourself?
No, I don't. I tell them if they ask me, but
yeah.
I don't go, I'm Al, I'm from Connecticut.
Yeah.
When you do go to Nashville with Al,
yeah,
Al is like a politician. And not that he behaves like one,
right?
But he is huge. He anywhere you go, they know him. And he's like a mayor, the unofficial mayor of Nashville. And they don't know he's from up here.
Right. No, I feel like that probably is something, a truth about him that flies under the radar in the country scene. Because you can have, you know, I mean, you can be country and be from Windsor, but people don't necessarily know that, right?
Yeah, and when you're down, you don't always have to write country,
right? Well, the song that we're going to do in a second, as you're saying, Harry Connick Jr. is recording this. I assume with a very different kind of feel to it too.
And that all happened from Train. I had the Train cut that I wrote with Pat Monahan,
mm-hmm.
and his producer heard that song and then did it on Harry Connick Jr. So sometimes, you know, it's always networking. Some ways you don't ever know it's going to happen.
Let me ask you a semi-serious question about songwriting, which is, I mean, how does the song start for you? Like this song that we're going to do has got this great line, I lose my keys, I lose my cool. It's such a great line. Does it start with a lyrical feel like that? Does it start with chords? I mean, how do you get to a song?
For about 8 years, I always kept going. And finally, I thought of it when I was writing with this guy, Ken Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Buxton was walking through the hall. She's a great writer and a great singer. She said, get in here. And she sat down. We wrote the song like in an hour.
Yeah.
I got to tune it up again.
But that is that typical of the process? Or – I mean, one of the things Nashville does
– somebody usually has a title.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
And you could just start playing – I usually start playing guitar and something. And everybody, what'd you do? What was that you did? Because crummy guitar players down there. Wow, what's that?
This doesn't
but
air.
The worst guitar
this
players –
air in Nashville, right?
The worst guitar players down there are usually the richest songwriters.
I thought they played clean as country waters.
The musicians do, not
as
the writers.
High as Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
But they've got musicians that can figure out what they're trying to do, so
– Well, that's the job of musicians.
Yeah.
Make everybody else look good. Make the singer sound good.
Because you only need three chords down there.
It is funny. When you go to a session down there, the parking lot of the studio, as I recall, was the musicians' cars, which were fairly modest, and the writers' cars, which were giant, brand-new, blinged-out SUVs that took up two spaces.
I just bought a 1993 Lincoln Town Car with 20,000 original miles on it, white wall tires and everything.
So Al's in both camps.
It's a living room.
Yeah. Well, how is that even possible? I mean, that sounds like a little old lady who only drove it like on one Sunday a year.
Found it in Hemmings.
Yeah.
Hemmings Motor News.
All right. So wisely or otherwise, we're going to all three of us do this, the very song he's talking about. You want to say anything more about this song?
Well, Scarlett did it.
Scarlett did it, yeah.
proud of the song, though. I love it.
Yeah.
Ready?
Beautiful song. Yeah.
You ready, boys?
We're ready.
I'm in heaven on solid ground. It makes my world spin round and round. I'm inside out, I'm upside down. Every time I fall in love,
I lose my keys, I lose my cool. I never learn, it's like I'm back in school. I end up breaking all my rules. Every time I fall in love, I've been here before. I'll be here again. I tell myself there's no one else. And then
I'm flying high with the birds and bees. But then they get the best of me. How come it feels like it's meant to be? Every time I fall in dressed up for the wrecking ball. Every time I fall in love, every time I fall in love. Here
in the control room, we're wondering if they even know this is a radio show. Today's show is produced by Gina Matruda, Colin McEnroe, and me, Kyone Wolf. Our interns are Zachary LaSala and Amanda Gallagher. The part of Bill Curry was played by King Curtis. For show pages, articles, and video of the Here and Now staff singing Howard Johnson's Got His Hojo Working, visit our website, wnpr.org/Colin. On Monday, our annual review of the best jazz of the year. And now, back to the boys.
Well, this is Raul Malo from the Mavericks.
I can't sleep a wink anymore. Ever since you first walked out the door. And I just started drinking to forget. But I don't think the worst happened yet. All you ever do is bring me down, making me a fool all over town. So if you wonder why I wear a frown, that's 'cause, honey, all you do is bring me down. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
funny how my whole world fell apart. Think I saw it coming from the start. I tried to tell myself that you'd be true, but I expected way too much of you. All you ever do is bring me down, making me a fool all over town. So if you wonder why I wear a frown, that's 'cause, honey, all you do is bring me down. Oh, that's 'cause, honey, all you do is bring me down. That's 'cause, honey, all you do is bring me down.
2, 3, 4.
So that was Big Al Anderson and Jim Chapdelaine. Tell us about that song. Where does it come from?
It was the dumbest song I ever wrote in my life. I went over to Raul's condo, and I thought it was like, oh, no. And I actually came up, so if you wonder why I wear a frown, I love that, he said.
Yeah.
And it was the best record I ever had in my life. It was a hit record.
So this is another thing. And I think, you know, they show this in the series Nashville. They show people just getting together to write a song. So people do that, right?
Yeah.
You just went over there to write a song?
Yeah, you go over there and write a song. That's what you do.
He does it every – when you're down there.
Yeah.
Every day there's somebody coming over or he's going over there. Yeah.
Sometimes you write in the morning, afternoon, and night too, yeah, with different people.
Do you do that too? Do you write with other people when you write a song or do you just write a song?
No,
I feel like
would.
You just write a song by yourself.
I write by myself. I've asked Al, but he won't have anything to do.
Nobody wants to write with him. No one.
No. You know why?
Yeah.
I use words like gesticulate,
yeah, gesticulate
and things like that, and they hate that. But I'm working on a song where I use the word beer. But I can't find anything to rhyme with it.
I'm trying to think if gesticulate could be fitted into a song, but I, you know,
that's more of a Chris Collingwood kind of.
We'll put it to you this way. All right, so this we should say this is the annual Big Al Anderson, Jim Chapdelaine, Colin McEnroe show Christmas special.
Wait,
so next year
who's there?
Who's there
it's
now?
It's Buddy Hackett.
It's Buddy Hackett.
You guys, I can't believe you guys.
So if we do it next year, which we'd like to do. You know, we'd like to do it. We'd all like to do one, right? Next year, do
right.
A special,
yeah,
like a tradition.
Yeah.
People would like.
Let's do next year's now.
Yeah, we could do it
just
next
in
year.
Case.
This is next year.
And we
year's.
Don't want any more money than we're getting this time.
Same.
I'm doing that for you, man.
But I think we should make a commitment to write a song that contains the word gesticulate by next,
you got
by
it.
Next year.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Gesticulation.
It's done. It's done.
Gesticulation.
Wait. I kind of like the way you did that. I kind of like the way you did that, Al.
You did?
Yeah. Let's do it again.
Because when you just tickle me.
Nope, that's it.
It's gesticulation.
One time.
Yeah. Towards the end of the show, we're going to bring back in the Dan Kosky Tabernacle Choir to sing one last Christmas song. But in between now and then, the stage. Oh, I know what we were going to talk about, although I forget how we got onto this. But before the show started, we were talking about how to talk to people that you meet. People who are famous, or you just how to talk to people who you meet. That in itself is a very good topic.
But that's different than talking to people you meet that you might be somehow intimidated by,
right,
in some
really
stratified
like.
Imaginary way.
Right. But it's not imaginary. If you meet somebody that you've long admired, you know, one of the things you want to do is tell them.
Let's pick a person, for example, like Mariah Carey.
Okay.
It never fails. You always make a jerk out of yourself.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Have you had that happen?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Can you think of any specific examples?
Jeff Bridges.
So what did you do when you met Jeff Bridges?
He was a friend of Stephen Bruton's when he passed away. And,
yeah.
And Jeff Bridges and Chris Christopherson did everything they can to help him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he was playing in the same casino I was up in Canada. Forgot the name of it now, but it was a really big casino.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to his show the next night, and I'm going on about the Lloyd Bridges thing, and he called us that. He called his dad.
Oh, so you were going all the way back to Sea Hunt on this?
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, I first met him in Santa Fe.
Yeah,
they were doing a Crazy Heart with Jeff Bridges, and Stephen Bruton wrote songs there. So I went down to the studio and hung out with him. And after 11 o'clock, Jeff is the dude.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, he's the dude.
Yeah.
Totally. But I love Starman. It's my favorite. So I tell him, I love Starman. I'm going on and on. He's going, yeah, right. Get out of here.
Here is what I like about your people. You are at your best when things are worst.
Right.
That's a good Starman.
I do an okay Starman.
It's a crazy movie, but man, Karen Allen is so good in it, too.
She's great.
I approached Walter Cronkite in an altered state and said, I admire your work.
Yeah. But that was good.
But that's the dumbest thing you could ever walk up to somebody and say. You know,
I don't think that
he's got a lifetime's worth of work.
No, because here's the thing.
Part of my work do you admire?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Some 100 pieces of your work.
Thanks, Jim Chupton.
Mick, we all went out and we got flown out to Paul McCartney for his last show at Soldier Field.
Mm-hmm.
And we got all this time with him. We're sitting around with him. And I go, how'd you do that Hard Day's Night guard? He goes, ask George.
Right. Well, yeah, you didn't go Chris Farley on him. Totally. Yeah,
no. Almost.
So twice in about 24 hours I did this. I was at the Republican National Convention as a reporter. So the first time I ran into Philip Seymour Hoffman at a party. But he was there like making some kind of documentary, I'm sure, that never got made. And I'd just seen him in The Talent of Mr. Ripley and he'd blown my mind. And so I was so excited and I was at a party and I probably had something to drink. I went up to him and I just got way too excited and – he just looked at me like, I just can't process you. Go away.
And there may be a backstory to that now.
Well, yeah. Now, I mean, I realize there are a lot of other ways to approach Philip Seymour Hoffman that were less enthusiastic but might have matched his mood a little bit better. But then also, so about 24 hours later, I ran into Kevin Johnson, who had been a basketball player for the Phoenix Suns and who'd been, like, in some ways my favorite basketball player. And so I started to tell him.
Become mayor of Phoenix?
He's had a few problems since then. But yeah, he's been not. I think he's mayor of is it Phoenix
or someplace?
He's mayor of somewhere anyway. I think it's in California. But anyway, he was like backing away from me, and I was there with a news guy named Steve Coates, and he said, "You know, he didn't like that. You were scaring him." He goes, "What's wrong with you? You're 50 years old, or however old I was at that moment." He said, "You're not some kid. This is horrible." So I came up with, "I'm a big fan."
It's better to just go, "Thank you,
thank you." Yeah. I'm a big fan. I met Blair Brown. I said, I'm a big fan.
Because Tommy Lee Jones is walking around Santa Fe. He lives there. And when I, you know, if I go up to him, I'm going to go, I just got to learn to go, thank you.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to know what I love.
Right.
Right, right.
And I get the feeling. I don't know. There was a couple of times at those award shows when like Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell are up on stage doing something really funny. They'll cut over to Tommy in the audience and he's not laughing.
Right. That's right. I've seen those.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's grim-faced.
He's like grim. Like, so.
You know what I get now sometimes? Yeah. It's cool. Somebody come up to me. I sign autographs and stuff or sign everything they want. Mm. And I saw you guys in Shibu in 76. I had a red shirt on. I was right in front of you.
Yeah.
Do you remember me? I said, well, actually, no. I'm looking out at the – you don't remember me? But I had a red shirt on.
Yeah.
The answer to that question, Al, in the future is always, sure I do. Yes, I do.
Or you could say nothing that happened at Shibu for 15 years is remembered by anybody.
Anyone who
all of
in
those
Shibu.
Brain cells are like out on Route 6 somewhere blowing around.
Those are outsourced.
There's really just we did a whole show on Shibu.
How many people made it back to Hartford or didn't make it back to Hartford.
It was a tough drive. It was a challenging drive. Yeah. So I don't know if we have time. Do we have time to do one more song before we? No, it doesn't look like we do. So what we'll do instead is we'll get ready. We'll get ready for Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I can actually offer one piece of information about this. So Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which is a beautiful song. I think we would agree with that.
No question.
So it's done in obviously Meet Me in St. Louis, and it's done at a pretty depressing and dire moment in the movie where things aren't working out too well, and I think. There, Judy Garland sings, "Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow." And then when it was released commercially, when people like Sinatra and people like that started to cover it, it was – the lyrics were seen as a little bit too gloomy in general. So they substituted, "Hang a shining star upon the highest bough." Now, in preparing us, Jim, you did print out the Christina Aguilera lyrics.
Which starts – mm-hmm. A little. And I'm not even sure what that even means. But it was on like four different lyric sites when I went to look for it. So I imagine that she's having sort of a – she's either very confused or feeling a little sexy time for Christmas.
Yeah. Because it's not, but it's not a sexy song.
Well, it is for her.
A little.
Yeah.
Mm, a little. Have yourself. All right. So let's say one last time where this fun can – the kind of fun that you've been having right now listening to this radio show.
Well, I don't know if it will be quite at this level.
Which is mostly putative, yeah. Mostly theoretical.
And NBO tickets will tell you everything.
NBOtickets.com. Yeah, but you have to know what days.
Hills Point Hotel.
26th and 27th.
26th, 27th. It's Saturday and Sunday.
Christmas Day, you're bored out of your mind. The next day
– you need to get out.
You got to get out, right?
You got to
go do something.
You have to get out both nights, actually.
Yeah.
And maybe you've had to sing Christmas carols for 3 hours somewhere.
Right.
And you just need to get away from that place and come out.
So various former members of the Wild Weeds will be there with Big Al, and Jim will be there with Big Al. And
Lorne and Paul from the Shinolas, although we go under the name the Floor Models.
Yeah.
And so, we wear tags.
It'll be a good time. All right. So let's bring in the
– Everybody come.
Yeah, everybody come.
Get your ass out there.
Yeah.
Al, it's NPR.
It's NPR.
We say derriere.
You're gluteus. All right, so the glutei of the Dan Kosky Tabernacle Singers, they're filing into the room right now, and we're going to end the show.
They changed outfits.
Yeah, thanks. That's right. They're all dressed as elves.
It's great to be with you, man, by
Sexy.
The way.
It's really great. This
really is
fun. It's fun, for, I think, for the three of us just to – even if nobody else enjoys it.
I was going to say, listeners be damned.
That's right. Well, it's still fun for us anyway. That was the main thing. So here we go. We're going to end the show with Big Al Anderson, Jim Chapdelaine, and the Tabernacle Singers singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Whistling.
Nobody's doing it.
There's two of them.
And some chimes.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, your troubles will be out of a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days. Gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together. If the fates allow, hang a shining star upon the highest bough.
Radio.
Oh, I'll be here all week.